Everybody good?
Yes, sir. Sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
So, you can stay seated. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll start right there. How many of y'all enjoyed the marriage stuff on Wednesday? Yeah. We're going to talk about marriage today, but we don't pick back up there. This coming Wednesday. And I'm going to say it again. If you ain't practicing your faith, if you ain't practically found a way to practice and put your faith into operation in this dimension, you are not walking by faith. Which technically qualifies you at some point to be in a backslidden state because you go through so much that faith could have solved. Faith in the person of Christ could have solved, and you could have applied it in this dimension. And then people get soured because they're not applying their faith. Young brother, they ain't applying it. So I gave you one way that you can apply faith in the area of finances. You're going to need to do that over the next 2 years. I don't care if you've been in the military. You're going to need to figure out a way to apply faith to your giving so that you can stay in the level of increase. The military is not going to protect you, I'm going to tell you right now. They just like anybody else. They'll draw down just like anybody else. And you got to be able to apply your faith. You got to be able to apply faith in the area of matrimony. If all you do is sulk and pout and fuss, you know, I don't know. Obviously, you're not happy, and you're probably on your way to a divorce court if you do not figure out a way to apply. I'm telling you guys that it's true. You're on your way to a divorce court at some point in time if you don't figure out how to apply your faith practically, meaning that a lot of things you have to do in that relationship, you have to do it when you are hurting and when you're mad and when you're disappointed and you love them like God told you to do, or whatever he's telling you to do. You start off by faith. Because it's been so, please pay attention to me, please. There's so much offense going on that you people can't move past it. And before you know it, they divorced. Yeah. Right? And the same person 5 years ago they said they in love with, now they hate them. No, they teaching and preaching and whatever, Bible study and all kind of other craziness in church, all kind of stuff in church. And they'll be the main ones. Right? And then God forbid they over people in ministry because now that stuff spews down into their cell group and through the church. And before you know it, people are replicating that because the person at the head couldn't figure out how to make it work. So we can figure out how to make it work. The body of Christ shouldn't be sick as dogs. I don't care. All people get sick. How do you know you're not all people? Right. All I'm knowing is that the body of Christ ain't got no business all the time being sick.
Yeah.
Or depressed.
Because
people wear depression like it's a badge of honor. Now, there ain't no badge of honor. You let the devil ride. Say, stop letting the devil ride. And I've been depressed. So don't look all crazy at me when I'm talking to you, if I'm talking to you. Stop being so weak and allow the word to hit you and help you. But if you can't say that, mental health is a real thing. Don't wear that like that's no badge of honor. Get yourself healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is real.
Yes.
But, you know, the more we talk about it and the more we get counseled, the more people seem to get, the more the world seems to have gotten weaker in that area. Because we talk about it like it's some badge of honor.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm going this way with some of you, but you're wearing it like that's a badge and that's not no badge, that's a demonic attack.
Yes.
And what's the point in coming to the helper if we're not going to let the can-do God help us?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be always down.
Yeah.
The body of Christ, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:57. He done told us that he done gave us the victory. But we don't live like we got the victory. Our faces be all twisted up. Our heads be all hung down like the devil is kicking you in the rump 24/7. You wouldn't let another human do you like that. Why you let the devil do you like that? Do you not realize that the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm? And
a person that's trying to do you like that, but you let the devil keep kicking yours.
And you got the victory, but we don't do nothing with the victory. Sit up and mope and come to church. Let me tell you something. If you're a born-again believer, Christians, I'm telling you, co-pastor, I'm telling you, this is what God put in my heart. Christians shouldn't always be going through stuff. I'm telling you, that is a problem. All Christians go through stuff. A Christian shouldn't be always going through stuff, because the Christian has the Spirit of God and they can create peace with the devil is bringing hell. We should not always be going through. Even if we going through, there are some people that when they walk through a room, people create space for them. Their statue lets you know that you don't want none of this, and they may be soft as butter, but they don't look like they soft as butter. You follow what I'm saying? And when, I mean, if they can walk into this church, and I guarantee you, if you were standing out there in the foyer, you would move to the left or the right if you looked at them. And that's the way the devil should be when you walk through the room. He should create space because you are there. But we'd be like, oh, the devil doing that to you because you have not embraced your strength in God. You've embraced weakness that the enemy is providing. You got to embrace the fact. Joel said, let the weak say I'm strong. Not weak. I don't go around, even if I feel weak, I ain't going to talk like I'm weak. Even if I am depressed, I'm gonna put a smile on my face. The devil ain't going to know it. Watch this. And the devils that he's using to bring hell in my life, they definitely ain't going to get no enjoyment from it. Say, I'm strong. Say, I'm not weak. Say, I'm strong. In the Lord, I'm not weak. But Christians ain't got no business going through all the time. They marriage should not always be on the rocks. Your marriage is on the rocks because it's not on the rock. If you would put it on the rock, it wouldn't be on the rocks all the time. And so they can say, well, oh, you ain't doing nothing. You're moaning and whining and griping and fussing and complaining, backbiting, murmuring and cussing. You ain't doing nothing to get the devil off of you. Say, get off of me. You have to know you got this ability to get him up off of you. And when you can't, God is there. But ain't no Christian got no business going through stuff all the time. And that concerns me. These people that y'all be loving and thinking they some great preacher and prophet and whatever else may be, and they prophesying and counseling and all this stuff, and then you get to pray for the people, and the same people who's sitting up under them come to me when they want to walk by faith and get a victory. Because even when you get a prophetic word, somebody got to teach you how to walk it out. And they up there prophesying and laying hands and falling out, and then they stuck and they suffering because ain't nobody told them how to walk it out. Every prophecy, every promise, every time God promised you some provision, supernatural provision. I ain't talking about nickels and dimes and somebody else going to give to you. I'm talking about one blessing from heaven to change your life. That kind of stuff come up on a demonic attack. And if you're weak, you ain't going to get it. If you don't feel like I'm strong, he calling me weak. If somebody's identifying your problem and that's you, you should eat it. You eat it until you get strong. But see, this offense, you cannot help a person that think they strong and you know they not. You have to build them up and you have to tell them that if you can't, God can. And if God can't do it, can't nobody do it. You understand what I mean? But God can do it. Watch this. Because he's the can-do God. When you are in a place where you need supernatural ability, how many know God is there for you? What if you're sick? What if it's something like cancer? Where did cancer come from? Huh? Cancer come from God? Where your mom at so I can whoop her? No. It don't come from God. Cancer is an abnormality or dysfunction of cells in the body. And who does that? Who does that? He does that. Everything about God is good. See, and this is where I'm going with this whole lesson that I'm going to, the can-do God. See, what much of the what church world has done is put we wouldn't use words like evil in this dimension, in our time frame. We would use words like bad. We wouldn't say evil, even though we know it's evil. We would use words like bad. Cancer is bad, good, however you want to say it. The point being, God is good. So if it was from God, if cancer was from God, why should you resist it? Why don't you just take it if it's from God? Why do we go in the doctors? Because we know that it's not of God. What if it's a heart attack? Is that from God? So why would we go to a doctor for a heart transplant if it's from God? See, and much of the church world is not resisting the demonic attacks of the enemy because somehow other preachers have coined it like it somehow it came from God. And it didn't come from God. It was a dysfunction. It was something that the enemy did. God can make it work for your good somehow, or bring, he don't bring good out of evil, but he'll take it and he'll make healing come out of it, and then he'll give you a testimony, and then you can tell the whole world, now that's God. Amen or oh my. But we're not going to say that that's God, because God is. And we're not resisting stuff because we think somehow God is teaching me out there. God don't use Charles Manson to teach his kids. There are other ways that he can teach you other than having the devil beat your brains out or have you incarcerated or having you on some bed dying of some debilitating disease. Amen or oh my. Well, let's see what the Bible got to say about it. It don't matter what I got to say, Nicole. I don't have no ability to heal nobody. Who's the healer? See, these preachers run around acting like they doing this. So the person could have been healed 10 years ago. They waiting to get to some special preacher, and ain't nothing special about him or her. Whether it's your mama or your daddy or your uncle or your granny, I don't care who it is. Ain't nothing special about it. If God don't do it, they can't get it done. They're just an instrument. They're only a tool. And they got y'all, not this church, they got these people running around like chickens with their heads cut off, leading them into all kind of foolery. When all they had to do was do what? Go to the can-do God. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. All that mess you dealing with it because you want to deal with it. But if you're tired of fooling with it, what should you do? Take it to the can-do God. If you're tired of fooling with it, what should you do? Take it to the can-do God. If you're tired of messing with it, take it to the can-do God. If you want to die sick, die sick. If you want to die healed, take it to the can-do God. Now, I know people don't want to hear because they think somehow it's a knock on them. Sometimes God will do things beyond your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why a lot of times preachers don't lay hands on preachers, because if they don't get healed from some debilitating thing that the doctor told them could not be done, they feel like it's something because they got small egos. It's a knock on them. Oh, I don't want to get embarrassed. If God told you to put your hand on them, put your greasy hands up on them, you ain't doing the work anyway. Allow God to do it. And then the people won't come because they don't want to be embarrassed to tell somebody, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this, for my husband or my child to be saved. I'm believing for this. I'm believing for whatever. Turn around. Tell somebody, say, take it to the can-do God. Let's look at this thing. I'm fired up. I don't know why, but I am. Go to Joel 2. We shouldn't always be going through. Your face shouldn't always be twisted like a knot when you come to church. Some people, every time you turn around, they sick. Every time. I ain't talking about things the devil talking. I'm talking about stuff that they should just be able to handle in their house with some oil and put it on their head. Don't look at nobody. Say, any old excuse will do. Sometimes you ain't going to do what God wants you. Just tell me anything. You just make up something. Put your hand in your pocket and pull out some piece of paper, whatever it say, that's just tell me. I ain't going to believe it, but any excuse to do. Joel 2:32 says what? It shall come to pass, whosoever, who is a whosoever? Who's a whosoever? If you don't know, go back to kindergarten. Who's a whosoever? Anybody. You are whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Meaning that preachers ain't got no special right to God. You ain't got to be running to your grandmama and them. She ain't got no more power than anybody else. You are whosoever. Can do what? Call upon God. Call upon the name of the Lord. And there'll be what? Man, y'all got to be quicker with these scriptures. Either we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. Can call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be what? Yours may say saved, mine say delivered. Now, the key word in that whole sentence, Malachi, is shall. Shall is a promise. How many know God ain't no liar? See, we sometimes we approach God from the standpoint of how we know we are. We don't always do what we say. But God never tell you that he going to do something, Olivia, and he can't do it. Now, the key in the shell in receiving the promise is that as a believer, you got to be able to hear. See, what primarily happens in church is that we have too much secondhand information. So I talk to you from my experience with God, and then I tell you what God wants you to do or God wants you to have, and then you could be theoretically practicing something that God has not even told you specifically because you can't hear. So what gives the shell validity is the fact that what you are saying to me bears witness with my spirit. That's why I don't let anybody just speak into me. If my baby don't leak, God didn't say it. It doesn't even matter if it's in the Bible or not, because you could be giving me a word out of season. So if my baby don't leap, it ain't for me. So you got to be able to hear God to some capacity that when God speaks to you and then he confirms what he wants you to hear through another person, you say, okay, God, I got it. I got it, God. I heard you the first time, but I got it now. I really got it now. And that's what God is trying to tell some of us today. Your promise still stands. Say, my promise still stands 3 times. It still stands. Time hasn't disqualified you. Your sin hasn't disqualified you. Nothing has disqualified you. It still stands like you heard it the first time. Now, the whole thing about this, whosoever calls upon him, meaning that you cannot incite another person to really get involved in your life if you ain't interested in the change. Look at me, please, because this is a big problem in the church. You want me to be involved in your life, but you ain't involved in it spiritually. So now what happens is you say, not this church. You live like the devil from the time you leave church until the next church service. Now you want to come to the altar and I'm supposed to call the can-do God and he just going to do it, but you're not involved. You got to somehow take your place in this equation. We have to take our spot in this equation. Now, as we do this, we set in a plateau that God will sometimes put us in positions where he'll give you, it's an according to your faith moment. Meaning that I've put in you enough, I've revealed to you enough, you understand enough about how this works, where use my power, I've deputized you, use this, you can handle this situation. But that's not all. There are some situations that beyond you that you must be in agreement with God to help you. See, like some things you're not going to run off by yourself. If we could run off every, let's just use devils as an example, because we seem to freak with them a lot. Some of them you can't run off by yourself. You ain't strong enough. That's why he says, if any two touch and agree, any one thing, it shall be done. One should chase 1,000. Two could put 10,000 in flight. You dealing with the 1,000, but it's 10,000 things in the spirit that's up against you. You can't be in secret right now. Amen. Oh my. You can't be walking in secret right now because you don't have enough to overpower what you're dealing with. You got to get somebody else involved. Preferably, you want to get the can-do God involved. You want to get him involved to handle this. That man that was at the tomb in Gennesaret, he had a legion of demons in him. A legion of demons in him. Now, all these people, it didn't say that they wasn't religious people or they wasn't people that wasn't followers of Christ. It does not matter. Whatever it was, they could not help that man get delivered. They done chained him. They done put him in this and all this stuff they trying to do, and they could not do it. And Jesus gets off the boat, walks towards the tomb. The man sees Jesus almost like at some point he was in his right mind, off and on. He was in his right mind. He was out of his right mind. But when Jesus started approaching that tomb, he was in his right mind. And he comes and he lays down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus delivers this man of these demons. He got him up out of him. And I'm telling you, if you may not be possessed, but if the devil is harassing you, fall down at the feet of the can-do God. Stop all this walking and praying in your house, all this speaking in tongues, and just talk to God in English, because you know your prayers ain't going no higher than them tongues ain't going no higher than that ceiling. And just get on your face and begin to cry out to God and tell God, I need you. I cannot do this. I cannot be healed. I done wrestled. I done struggled. I'm ashamed. I'm depressed. I am lonely. I'm suicidal. And if you don't get in this thing, God, I'm going to be out of here. And you know what the can-do God will do? He'll step right in on time, just like he did that man at the tomb of Gennesaret. And the Bible said when you found that man again, he was not cutting himself. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. He was sitting down, and he was telling Jesus, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And Jesus said, no, go back to your family, meaning that this guy got possessed by demons and lost his family. And that's what's happening to many of our families today. Somebody got in bed with the devil, and then the devil snatched them right out of the comforts of their family. But if that's you, God gonna deliver you. He gonna deliver your demonic husband or wife or whoever it is. The can-do God can get them straight. I don't know how people can think they can participate with devils and they don't become one with him. And he'll take your life. That man was cutting himself. So now they tell our young people, Sister Brooks, they got this thing. They call themselves cutters. Your child is dealing with a demon. That man was cutting himself. You know why? Because he was dealing with a demon. So now these people run around, they want to diagnose it like it's some issue. They're not going to deliver you. Get to somebody that know God, and the can-do God will get them free. That's what it is. What did I say? Go nowhere? God is willing to help. That's what I'm trying to tell people today. You ain't got to deal with that mess. You deal with it because you want to deal with it. The worst person you ever want to feel sorry for in this life is yourself, because ain't nobody else going to believe for your victory like you. And if you feeling sorry for yourself, child, you ain't got a chance at that point, unless the can-do God just step out of heaven and come down and visit you personally. Tell somebody, say, don't ever feel sorry for yourself. The can-do God lives in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen to this. I say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the devil is in the world. That's why he want to get all y'all trapped out there in this foolery. He wants you in some club. He wants you on some stripper pole. He wants you looking at pornography. He wants you addicted to alcohol or drugs. He wants you to have a boyfriend, a husband, and another girlfriend. He wants you to be all up in all his foolishness because he know. He wants you to fall in love with making money. He wants you to run after some career like that's going to save your life. It ain't going to save your life. It ain't going to heal your body. It's not going to give you your family back. It's not going to do nothing for you. You got to tap into, say, the can-do God. If you ain't tapped into him, you still lost. If you ain't willing to tap into him, you still lost. If you ain't going to go after him, it ain't going to get no better. But if you will go after God and call unto God, he'll hear you. He'll deliver you. He'll help you. Listen to your therapist if you want to. I'm trying to give you victory today. Some of your therapists need counseling. But I'm telling you, God can. You can look at me. I'm coming for you next. So God is willing and ready to help. Do you want help? Stop relying on self. What does it require? To get God to help you, it requires some humility. And I ain't never seen people who are so most prideful and be some of the most spiritually and naturally unaccomplished people on the planet and call themselves walking in pride. No, you need to humble yourself. In the natural, you ain't got nothing to work for you. In the spirit, you ain't got nothing to work for you because you keep avoiding the can-do God. You keep thinking that your way is going to somehow flip over. It ain't going to flip over unless God flip it over. Unless God help you and unless God help me, we are all still lost. Ain't nothing going to get better if God don't get involved. Tell somebody, say, you ought to get God involved. You need to shut your mouth talking to other people. You need to shut your mouth calling people and putting your business out on Facebook. You need to get off the Instagram and you need to call on Jesus. You need to shut them people down who always all the call themselves comforting you and shut them down and go after God. And then you'll get a victory. Look this way, please. And then you'll get a victory. You entering in a time where if people don't get pushed, the devil he gonna stomp them. He gonna stomp them. All this stuff trying to ooey owie and squishy and feel good people. If you don't prepare them people, the devil gonna stomp them. Cause time ain't gonna get no easier. It's gonna get harder. Are you prepared for hard? Times are not going to get easier. They're not going to get simpler, Sister Brooks. They're going to get harder. And only the strong that's in Christ is going to survive. Say, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. So Joel says that this is a covenant between God and his people. That we can call upon God, brother, in difficult seasons. Difficult situation. Difficulty is not supposed to be your lifestyle. I'm going to say it again. It ain't supposed to be your lifestyle. You being duped by the devil. At some point, if you ain't got a victory, 1 Corinthians 15:57 and told you that you got a victory. And what you should be doing is looking around talking about, where's my victory? Where's my victory? But I ain't supposed to have no lifestyle of difficulty. My life is always hard because I'm so burdened with the things of God. You a lie. This Jesus church. He ain't never told nobody to do that. He ain't never asked nobody to do that. You ain't so burdened because you so spiritual and you have to be away from people. No, you ain't away from people. People pull away from you because you would never change. But God ain't asked you. He ain't asked you to be so deep and isolated. And I'm just going through it. My life is difficulty. So where's my victory? You didn't say it with no conviction. Shout, where's my victory? I don't care if the devil got it. I don't care if you got it. I don't care if the government got it. I don't care if it's been hid. I don't care if it's under a rock. I don't care where it's at. I ain't going out of this place until I get my victory because he done promised me a victory. And I ain't leaving till I get it. And you don't want to be the one holding it when I find it. Because I'm going to treat you like the devil. You hear what I'm saying? Shout, where's my victory at? You got a victory. All this hardship that we talk about, we under. You ain't doing nothing about it. I'm doing the best I can. Sometimes your best ain't good enough. doing the best I can. Sometimes your best ain't good enough. It can be good enough if you'll do what? Say, take it to the can-do God. He'll multiply where you were weak at. He'll give you the advantage where you can never get the advantage. He'll give you favor where you should have been locked up, incarcerated, dead, STDs, sick in your body. He'll give you the victory. Say, I want mine. So he's telling us that God will come to help. Grab your Bible and go to Luke 1, please. Because we got to break out some limiting thinking. I don't know how people live the same their whole life. I don't, every time, oh, it's so bad, they ain't nobody help me, and this, they like the man at the pool, talking about, won't nobody help me. And Jesus says, the can-do God is here. Do you want to be healed or what? Won't nobody put me in the pool? Won't nobody drag me? Somebody always in front of me. They always doing this. Everybody talking about me. And Jesus said, would you shut up? I just asked you a question. Do you want to get up or walk or not? The can-do God is right here. I'm right here. You waiting on some angel, and God is right here. Do you want, ask somebody, do you want the help or not? The can-do God is here to help you. The can-do God can do it for you. He wants to do it for you. This is why he died for you. He wants to do it for you. Don't believe these people who telling you that God is against you. Shout, God is for me 3 times. We got to get beyond this limited thinking. They talking about all this recession stuff, mother, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to make so much money in this downturn. Yes, I'm not hoping. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Men that can't do God, going to get them good. I'm going to get them real good. I don't care if the market go up or down. I don't care which way it go. I'm going to get them good. Because the can't do God going to help me. And I'm trying to get you to see the same thing, that everybody else going to be going down, but we're going to be going up. Are you hear what I'm saying? I don't care if they're in my family. I don't care if they're in another state. I don't care if they're in another church. Everybody may be going down. I'm going to be going up. My family going to be going up. My church going to be going up. People around me going to be going up. Why? Because God going to help us. And he going to prove to you, because you ain't never seen this. Seasons don't really matter to God, because God don't function in time. They only matter to you. They only affect you. But wouldn't it be something if God allowed an orange tree in Alaska to grow in the middle of a blizzard? Why? Because the can-do God ain't limited by season change. See, and the world is in a season where the season is changing, but God is saying, I'm going to show you how to operate outside this. Anybody interested in that? No matter what happens in the world, ain't always assigned to me. It ain't always assigned to the people of God. We get caught up in other people's fight. Other people's sin. A lot of stuff happens in the world because of people's sin in a location. And then again, and you say, I ain't walking in sin, but I'm over here. Okay, you're going to be the orange tree that buds in the middle of the snow in Alaska. And then you're going to say, how this people are going to say, how'd this happen for you? The can-do God did it. How was you able to buy a house in a down market with high interest rate? The can-do God did it. How did you get your marriage back after all the stuff I knew, the public knew? How did y'all put this back together? The can-do God did it. You still going to therapy? You still going to counseling? You still taking all that medicine? You say, no, I've been off for about 2 years now. Well, what happened to you? What did your doctor do? The doctor didn't do it. Dr. Jesus did it. Say, the can-do God did it. And what he has done for other people, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of person. He is a respecter of belief. So I believe God. Luke 1:37, he's talking to Mary. And he tells them, for with God, nothing shall be. Who you got to do it with? Are we sometimes in impossible situations? Can you get out of it? How are you going to get out? With God. He say, with me, I can do this.
Okay, so what if you said, I'm doing my best and it ain't working? You ain't doing it with the can-do God. Because with him, all things are possible. Now, what if it's hard, but you see a little bit of progress, but it ain't all that you want? It's moving the impossible. Be happy you and the can-do God is doing something right now. But you don't just say, oh, that ain't enough for me. Whatever God give you, that's enough for you in this time. Say, take what God give you and he'll give you the rest. Because the world done place all these limitations on us. And we come into the church and we still have all this limited thinking. So people don't even, the most believers don't even believe for miracles no more. They don't even think they, you know, even exist no more. They believe, a lot of folks believe that they for somebody else. Say they for me too. Say they for my household too. Do sometimes you need a miracle in your marriage? Say yeah. Because sometimes you need God to come in and do an exorcism. Some of y'all, you act like you don't know what to talk about. But we grew up in some of these situations. We seen what our mom and daddy was like. And we love them, but we know that was definitely the devil. And then the man got saved and delivered, and he ain't never beat on her no more. She ain't never cheat on him again. They went from being broke to abundance. Why? Because the can-do God helped that marriage. And he can help you too. Don't give up on God. I say, don't give up on God. I say, don't give up on God. I'm glad some of you are uncomfortable. And this is where you have to be when you're looking for the can-do God. You got to be able to take some uncomfortability sometime. You can't take nothing. You can't get nothing. But the world done placed all these limitations on the body of Christ, telling us what we can't do, laughing at our God. They make it feel, this is why a lot of Christians don't talk about their faith, because a lot of people make you feel like your faith ain't real. They try to make you believe that believing ain't real. That your God ain't real. Uh-huh. That if you can't see it, it ain't real. That's not true. I'm not no real smart guy, but I do know a few things. I know there's only like a few colors that we mainly see in this spectrum. I think it's like red and orange or blue or something. One of them is a couple colors. And it's a very small slither. And then all this space out here and all that space out there and all that space out, they call it white that we can't even see. But yet they know it exists. Every time you throw that pie in that microwave and that infrared heated up, you can't see them waves, but you can see their food heating up. You got all these cell phones in here that's going off right now. You're on your Facebook while you're in church, looking at your Facebook, and all them RF rays, they're going through there, and it's pulling that signal right to your thing. You can't see that, but you believe, when you put your phone up, you believe it's going to work. Now, if all this stuff we can't see around us is happening, we can't see it, but we know this is happening because we can see the result. If you can hear from God and you can receive from his spiritual antenna, whatever you can receive in your spirit, it'll manifest in the natural. But you got to be open to believing for the impossible. Again, say the can-do God can do it. You got to believe beyond what you can see with your natural eyes. I say you got to believe beyond what you can see with your natural eyes. And so don't get stuck in some x-ray. Believe that God got something in the realm of the spirit that can take care of all that. A little softer, sir. So what we want to do is we got to take these limitations off. Say, take the limits off of God's ability. Is the devil capable of putting a boundary on God? He can put a boundary on you. How does he put a boundary on you? Through getting you to question God. He put boundaries on people's deliverance and healings. Definitely like financial breakthrough, because we done heard so many people say Christians supposed to be poor and Jesus was poor, that we done just drunk the dumb Kool-Aid. So we don't even believe beyond it because somehow that making me closer to God. Or that a whole bunch of problems going to make me seek God no more. The truth of it is, if problems hang around too long and you don't use your faith, you're going to start doubting God. You want to be in a place where you can move mountains, just like the Bible says. That you can get past barriers in life. Say, no barriers are going to stop me in this season. Why? Because the can-do God, his power is unmatched. All throughout the Bible, a lot of times, all we do is look at the negative. And we don't pay no attention to all the stuff the can-do God did. Like, do you believe that God could part a sea and blow through there at such a degree that it don't kill the people, but it dry up all the mud? And then they walk through this parted sea, like walls of water just standing up. You got to visualize it. And they walk through not getting drowned, nothing happening. Their feet ain't even getting wet and muddy. And then they get on the end of the side. And then he said, okay, Moses, this is where I need you to exercise your faith. Now, I want you to drop your rod. And then the human drops the rod and the water kills all the enemy. Is that just a story or is that a manifestation of the can-do God? Huh? Can he do anything? When they don't have no light at nighttime, but they still got to move. And then he becomes a fire by night so that they can navigate. They don't got no GPS. They ain't got no night vision goggles. They don't have no flashlights. They moving in pitch dark, but they not moving in pitch dark because the can-do God has provided light for them to get out. And the can-do God, whatever darkness situation you're in, he's going to provide light in your darkness to get you out. There is no darkness in your mind if you let the can-do God in there. The illumination of God will show you how to get out. But we don't talk about it, so people don't believe it. They don't believe it. They say, I got to suffer through it. I got to go through it. I got to know. Say, where's my victory? 3 times. Shout it like you mean it. Say, where's my victory? Where's my victory? Where's my victory? He's going to bring you out. He's going to show you how to get out. Am I preaching to the right crowd this morning? Because the Warriors come on. So if y'all ain't interested, I'm going to get a body here. Do I give me something to eat? Isaiah 55. He says, no word of God shall be void of power. That's what Luke 1:37 translates to. No word of God shall be void of power. All he's saying there is God's word is reliable. If you can't trust nobody, if you gonna trust anybody in this life, trust the word of God. Do you know what's interesting to me? I don't like even talking like this, to be honest, but I'll just let you in a little bit. Because a lot of you you're bent towards prophecy. But you hear prophecy every week. Because I'm always in the Bible. Do you know why most of the time, almost all the time, not all the time, but a lot of time, it comes to pass? It's because it's a sure word of prophecy. It's not going to fail. I try to extract the human element out of it as much as possible or reduce it as much as I can so that what you hear is a guarantee from God. Say, I got a guarantee from God. Come on, say, I got a guarantee from God. What I'm saying, brother, it ain't if it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not if. It's when. And that's because when you stick with what God says and the people believe it, brother, it happens. Now, does God move sometimes through other mediums like with people like that? He just give it to them? Yeah, of course he does. That stuff is real. But what you're looking at is God is telling you, the can-do God is trying to tell you that he's going to help you pass through some hard times. He's going to be the exceedingly for you. He's going to be the abundant for you. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens in the world, say, what's permitted to happen to others ain't permitted to happen to me. Say, I'm following the can-do God. And what I can't do, he can do. Now, when you look at this, he says His word is reliable. It don't return back to him void. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians, he says, now unto him, Ephesians 3:20, he said, now that's able to do exceedingly abundantly him, now unto him, now unto him, now unto him, who him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? All we can even ask or think. Now, I said this earlier, India, is that God is going to do things for some people in the body of Christ beyond what they could believe for. They couldn't believe it because they couldn't even ask at the degree that he wants to move. Boy, somebody better get a hold of what I'm saying, because I'm not playing with you. And I feel God right now, too. You couldn't ask for it and believe for it because you don't even know what to really ask for. And that's what he's talking about. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all what you can even ask or think. What has happened? According to his power that's working in us. Now, part of my assignment, I got to get ready to get out of here, is to tell people, to encourage some people beyond, God say, look beyond what you're seeing. You can get caught up in what you see and it'll kill your faith, and you were sitting right on top of it and seeing in an abundant moment. But you start focusing on what you see. And as a believer, what does the devil want you to see the most? The negative. And he needs you to start talking it, because you have creative ability. Life and death is in the power of your. He wants you to start confessing negative over yourself. I may talk negative, but I promise you I ain't talking negative about myself. I don't want to talk negative about nobody, but I ain't definitely going to talk about negative over my own self. I'm not going to punch myself in a street fight. Are you following what I'm saying? And so he has to, when you can't believe beyond a place, you can't even think that high, God says, okay, now watch what the can-do God can do. Watch what I can do in this hour for you. That he's going to exceed your expectations. That he's going to give you more than what you asked for or what you can even believe for. Say, this is my hour. And he said, don't even consider the season. See, if you start considering the season, you'll start giving credibility in places where God would have moved had you just brought it to the can-do God. And he gave you a testimony. He's going to give you a testimony. Say, because I'm going to do it. Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he's going to give you a testimony out of it. Share it with other people when it happened. Don't be sitting back. Go to 2 Kings, not talking to people about what God has done for you. The world, a lot of people give the world credit for knowing God, and they don't know God, and they don't want to know God. They want you to know God, and if they need God, they'll call you. They don't want to know God. They don't want to give up the world. They don't want to give up the things of God of the world to get to God. They don't want to walk in no purity. They don't want to walk in no holiness. They don't want to clean up their life. They don't want no God. They want you to. Most kids are like that. They don't want no God. They want you to know God. How is that? How is your grandmother faith doing for you right now? Because you're an adult. You got to work out your own soul. So she preaching with me. You got to work out your own soul salvation. How is working out for you? They instilled as much as they could in you, but at some point you got to take the baton and you got to start running. How is that working for you? At some point you're going to stop talking about what your grandmama and mama and your daddy did and start to know the gods of your mothers and your fathers and your grandfathers and start putting it to work in your life. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to see the can-do God to give you the same type of victories that he gave to them. Say, come on, Jesus. He'll give you the same type of victories that he gave to them. But you got to know, we got to know, I got to know, you got to know God for yourself. And if you don't, your life going to reflect it. And people going to be laughing. They're not going to be laughing in your face. They're going to be acting like they're concerned, but they're going to be laughing so hard. Why? Because the devil is notorious for surrounding us with people that are laughing in your face after you fall. you better get this to work. You better get this to work. We in that season. The Bible talks about a lot of things to come. It talks about a lot of things in the future, but the future is now. That was the future. The future is now. And we better get it to work. 2 Kings 4. Can y'all take a little more? I want people to win. I've seen people that was thought they was divorced for 7 years. Come to find out, God had blocked it. She in California, he in Texas, 7 years. Uh-huh. Thought they was divorced. Can't even realize what happened for them to discover that they wasn't. And the whole time when they, and what really happened was she got saved, but then all them years later had to transpire and he got saved. And then God may let them discover that they would never divorce and put them back together. Because he would have ruined it without deliverance. They would have lived the same way up to the divorce. So he had to, it took 7 years for him to get saved and delivered. And then God showed them they were still together the whole time. I'm saying the can-do God can do anything, and it don't matter how it looked to other people. He know how to do it. 2 Kings 4. There cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. This is always interesting to me. There cried a woman, a certain woman, of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now the creditor is come to take unto him my son to be bondmen or slaves. So let me unpack this. This guy dies. He is the servant to Elisha. So he could have theoretically been next in line to be Elisha's successor. He running behind Elisha. Serving him, and I don't use the word running behind because that's derogatory, but he's serving Elisha. He's serving his calling and yet neglecting his family. Yeah. See, sometimes as a man, even when you call to preach and do something for God, if you ain't got a grip, you got to get a job. Ooh, wee. You done shouted, so just take a minute. And this man dies acting like he's serving God's business, and he very well may have been. He was not handling his business at home. So now he dies. His wife has two sons. And during that time, because just a couple hundred years away from it in America, actually, we probably still ain't away from it. The sons were considered property. Not to her, though. And the creditors are coming to procure her sons to clear her husband's debts because the wife was holding it down and he wasn't handling his business. Don't look at nobody and say, you got to be a better man to God than that. So they come to get his kids. And this woman has cried out to God prior to Elisha's arrival. Now, how would I know that? Because God sends Elisha to her. He's the God who responds to your call. What am I saying? What is the Lord saying to some of you today? He not sent nobody to help you yet because you've grown comfortable dealing with it and you've never called unto him. You haven't called unto him yet. Her call is heard in heaven, in the corridors of heaven, and God, watch this, taps the prophet on his shoulder and said, now, he didn't just send it to anybody. Elisha wasn't confused. The Bible says a certain woman, and Elisha knew exactly where he's going. Elisha shows up at this woman's house, and Elisha said to her, watch this, what shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee? Now, he's on assignment, so it seems like Elisha's doing this, but really, Elisha is working under the anointing of God. Yes. He's working under the call of God in a moment. And so even though Elisha seemingly is doing it, he's working under the authority of God, like every other human does. Right. And Elisha says, what shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee? And she begins to say unto Elisha, tell me what I want. Tell me what you want. Tell me what thou has in thy house. And because Elisha's not wasting a lot of time because he already know what he's supposed to do. So he asks her, what shall I do for thee? And then he says, tell me what you have in the house, because he already know what he's supposed to do. And she said unto him, thy handmaiden have nothing in my house save a pot of oil. Say, it's not just a pot of oil. See, that's the problem with some of us. We're looking at something that God can take and bless under his control and turn it into something magnificent. Say, it's not just a pot. See, you looking at your situation and what's under your control, and you saying it's just a this or it's just a that, or he just this or he just that, or that's no. Say, it's not ordinary. It's only ordinary in your hands. It's extraordinary in the master's hand. Once the can-do God gets a hold of it, it's not ordinary anymore. And now, mind you, keep your mind focused. He's working on the authority of God. Ooh, this is so good to me. Then he says, Elisha gives her a prophetic instruction. He says, now, he says, go borrow the vessels abroad from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Don't borrow a few. What are those? Those are her instructions. Now, why am I even bringing this up? Because I tell you, you know, you what you're looking for, you're looking for God for me to run up on you, and I can't hardly control myself, and I'm shaking and I'm sweating profusely, and I'm stammering, and my people, and going in some deep tongue. No, I'm gonna do exactly like Elisha. Most of you, I've done you exactly like Elisha has done, and told you specific things to do, and you did not obey the message, even though it was coming from God. And then you complained about not getting the results, and you didn't get the results because you never followed the instruction, because you was listening for some deep tongues and me to lay hands on you, and for you to fall out. And God was telling you, go get the vessels. Don't borrow a few. And then you didn't get it. But you're not away from it. God can still do it. He won't add to those instructions. You have to say, God, bring them back to my remembrance, and then execute them. You don't need a new word. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new preacher. You need to be obedient. Say, follow the word of the Lord, and you will get your victory. So he tells them, he said, don't get a few. When thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she said, and she went, so she went from him, shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. Now, what's the issue with that whole thing? He told her to borrow the vessels. She sent the sons. See, there are people that will do things for your children, but they might not do it at the same magnitude that they'll do it for you. Ooh, wait, this is good. So they wouldn't have held back on empty containers from her, but they just gave, because they know them boys. They don't trust them boys. They just gave them, you know, they just gave them what they didn't want. Did God still move on that? But she didn't get everything that she could have got. You're in a season now that if you obey the instructions of God, you'll get everything that God got planned for you. There ain't nothing that you're dealing with that's too hard for God. I don't know why God flowing through me like this. There ain't nothing that you're dealing with that's hard that God can't fix it or do it in an exceeding way. You got to trust the can-do God like everybody else, like I do. Everybody else got to do the same way. But she didn't follow the instructions completely. She followed them, but not completely. And watch this. It came to pass when the vessel's full, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. They said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And watch this. And the oil stayed. The oil stopped. The oil stops. The question becomes, why was she standing there watching them pour the oil? She could have went and got more vessels. You know you're down to five. See, what am I saying? Sometimes we're like this woman. We'll wait till we at our last. When we saw it creeping down, we could have been petitioning heaven for more. We could have saw we getting weak. We could have been petitioning heaven for more strength. We already saw that he was getting short with me. I was getting short with him. We could say, God, put us, bind us more together. Say, this is going to be an incredible year for me. I don't care if it's sickness, God going to turn it. I don't care if you've been living in poverty or barely enough, God going to turn it. I don't care if you headed to divorce court, God is going to turn it around. I don't care whatever the situation is, God is going to turn it for you. Amen. Tell about five people, say, prepare for your exceedingly. I got to get out of here. Come on, tell somebody else, say, prepare for your exceedingly. I got to go. I got to go today. God going to show you. Just like with this woman, he did for her more than what she really could have believed. But had she just been available and been active in the prophecy, God could have did more. God want to do more for you. God want to do more for you. God want to do more for you, mother. God want to do more for you. And he specifically said to make sure I tell my people who are advanced in age that they're not beyond a miracle. It's right there. I wrote it down somewhere. That you're not beyond, boy, I feel God up in this place, that you're not beyond God doing a miracle. Age in this life is nothing but a number. I know I can't keep going, so I'll stand up three times. I really do got to go. But people who are advanced in age, even if you're watching, God going to do something incredible for you in a short amount of time to show you that he is still the God that can. And he'll do it at such a level. Don't count God out. That's really what I'm trying to tell you today. Don't count God out. Shout that three times. I'm not going to count God out. I'm not going to count God out. I don't care if I'm down. I don't care if I'm out. I'm not going to count God out. I'm not going to remove him out of my solution. God is going to do it for me. Lift your hands up towards heaven. I'm not doing no long altar call today either. All I'm going to ask you to do is release your faith. Take a few minutes and think. We got to do communion here in a second, but take a few minutes and just think about what you really need from God. You done messed with it. You done tried. I really hear like addictions. I don't care if it's a substance abuse. I don't care if it's something perverted. Listen, the devil got sneaky ways of getting in, but he'll break that. He'll break that from you. He'll take it from you, right? And there is a lady. When I say lady, you're grown enough, right? You be mindful of that relationship because you make sure this is God. And I could tell you some things that you could do, but God's going to tell you offline what you could do to prove if that person is supposed to be in your life. And if there's any secrets going on or secrecy going on in that relationship, that's not God. That is the devil. And he is packaging himself like he is going to be somebody great for you, and he is wrong for you. He is wrong for you. He's not your savior. You don't need no savior. But I want you to believe beyond what you're dealing with. I want you to believe beyond what you're dealing with. And then release your faith towards God. You can murmur it. You can talk it. You can just keep it up under wraps if you want to. But put it up before heaven. Like, put it up before heaven right now. Lift your hands up towards God. If you can't surrender to God, then you keep on working with it. You see what you can do with it. Right? If you're ashamed to just lift your hands in church, man, you got some serious issues. But take it up before God. Take it up before the Father. And God, the can-do God, even that brokenness, that's a couple of people in here. You got some brokenness in your heart. And you want to give up on some things, but you can't because God told you to keep on. He'll take your toil away from you, and he'll just do it if you'll give it to him completely. That means actions, attitudes, verbiage, you got to give it all to him. And he knows how. The can-do God know how to make it work together, but he gonna heal that brokenness in you. Really coming through the hands and behaviors of others. But God going to do it for you at a level that you couldn't even see. Keep them up. Keep on worshiping God. He going to do it at a level that you hadn't even seen. Right? He going to give some people some peace, just like he talked about in John 14. Peace I give you. Not as the world gives it. But he's going to give you a level of peace. Even like right now, it's happening in your heart right now because you can like sense God over you. But he's giving you peace right now. Not like the world has been giving it. That's not no peace at all. But he's giving peace into your heart right now. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's not God. Stop saying I have anxiety. Don't say that again. Don't say I'm hesitant, I'm passive, I have a spirit of fear. Don't say that. And when you face this difficulty this time, you'll have peace, and God will maneuver you right on through it quickly. Quickly. Ooh-wee. He's going to maneuver you right on through it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And Father God, even as we offer it up to you, even as these people have offered their thing up to you, whatever it is, it's not too big for you. Even as you persuaded Abraham, persuade us that there's nothing too big for you. There's nothing too hard for you. Do it for them now, God. In the name of Jesus. And as they've lifted up hands of surrenderance, you take it, God. Let him know. Let him know you take it, God. You take it. You take it. I'm done toiling, tossing. This is going to be the best night's sleep somebody done got in like years in this place today. You testify of it. I'm done toiling. I'm tired of rejecting your words. I'm going to take what I've got, what I've received, and expect you to do the rest. Believe you to do the rest. We know you can. We know you will. But there's a strong anointing in this place. You should not miss this right here. You should make sure you get your foot in that. My goodness. My goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Thank you. And we just yield it unto you, knowing that you have already worked it out. And we thank you for it in advance. We praise you for it in advance. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a good hand, praise. Come on, give him a good praise. You can expect something incredible. You can expect God to do it. I don't care if it's external. I don't care if it's internal. I'm telling you, after this year is over, you ain't going to never be the same. This year going to change your entire family. Your legacy going to shift into a different place this year. Amen? And Father, we thank you. You can leave that. Just leave this right here. You can take that. That's fine. I need this, so you can take that. Amen. If you're sick, as you take communion, believe God for a quick healing in your body. I want to talk to people that are like really struggling. When you get yours, I'm talking about struggling in your walk, struggling with behaviors. Hey, every struggle ain't bad. And struggle ain't bad because struggle signifies that you're resisting the devil to the maximum of your ability. That means that you ain't shifted to the other side. You fighting as best as you can. Now it's up to God to come in and show you that he can do it for you. He'll do it. And what he wants many of you to believe, some of you to believe, is that you are the only person. You're not the only person. Look around. You may not know it, and they may camouflage it real well. But there are other people, and they're right close to you, doing the same, having the same issues. This communion today not going to be ordinary. It's gonna flush some stuff out you. Some of you better believe it. You shouldn't be ashamed, because you don't want to die like that. You don't want to die like that. Right? Don't let the devil put you in shame. But it's going to flush some stuff out of you. This blood today going to flush. You can start handing it out to them. I'm going to read the scriptures. But I don't want to rush through this today. If you can follow the direction of the ushers as they come, however they're going to do it. I don't know how y'all planned y'all was going to do it. You just come from the back to the front. That'll be good. But he gonna flush some stuff out of you. Watching online and you want to participate, go to the refrigerator, get you some juice, get you a cracker. You ain't got to be here. You're online. Get up. You got a few minutes. Run to your kitchen. Get what you need. Definitely if you're talking about you stayed home because you were sick. Scripture reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supping, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread.'" You're going to leave stronger today. You're going to leave stronger today. Lift it up before the Lord. Don't take it yet. Just lift it up before the Lord. You're going to leave stronger today after you consume this. Father God, we give you thanks for this communion. We give you thanks for the blood. We give you thanks for your body. We thank you for the power that'll be released as your people consume on today. Let something miraculous happen in their hearts, in their minds, in their bodies, in their life that is uncommon. Lift up the downtrodden, God. Lift up the sick in the name of Jesus. Touch the heart of those that feel loveless or down or depressed. Let them feel the presence of the Lord even now. And Father God, I thank you for this body. I thank you for this bread in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take the bread, break it. We do this in remembrance of his body. It's not just a wafer. You can go ahead and consume. Meditate on that. This is his body. This is his body. I remember Jesus told them they're going to have to eat his body and drink his blood. And many of his disciples left him. They didn't understand the power of what he was saying. Go ahead and prepare the blood, the drink offering. And this is his blood. Any impurities in your body, any sickness, any disease, any colds, any minor illnesses, if I could even say it that way. May the blood of Jesus, any addictions be washed out as they consume your blood. Any secrecy, let it be washed out as they consume your blood. Go ahead and consume now. And Father God, we thank you for the power that's released through the consummation and the drinking of your body and your blood. We do this in remembrance of you, knowing that you are the can-do God. And as we have consumed, let the glory of the Lord sweep through our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.